Now, how many people, this is the first time hearing me speak about heaven? Anybody in here? A few people. Most of you have heard a lot, actually. And I tell people all the time that Pastor Tony and Cynthia, they're very blessed to the Lord. He really gives them extreme favor because usually if I have a new word or a new revelation, it comes here first. And we are in a new time. I talked about that when I was here before. You're not even breathing the same spiritual atmosphere. A fullness of time has come, and literally on God's timeline in heaven, we're in a whole new time. And so many things are going to be accelerated in this time. God's going to do new things in new ways that we never thought of. I will tell you right now, one of the things he's going to use so powerfully will be the arts. And I want you to know that heaven calls the arts a form of worship. Painting and dancing, those are forms of worship in heaven. They use them all over heaven. And I've even shared some places that the artists are the conductors of the symphonies of heaven. This is going to do something to your natural mind. Some places I go, they'll have prophetic artists painting during the worship service. Anybody ever seen that? It's beautiful, isn't it? So anointed. Well, they almost got it right. In heaven, the artists stand in front of the symphonies and they play what they paint. Down here, we paint what we hear them play. But in heaven, they play what the artists paint. Those brushes are like conductor's wands in heaven. So the arts are a major way they worship in heaven, and God's about to do that down here. He's going to anoint every form of art to produce power on behalf of his kingdom. So if any kind of artistic skill in you, even fashion design, I'm telling you, they call baking a culinary art. How many people think that eating yummy desserts and baked goods, is that an art? Say amen. Amen. I'll tell them, Holy Spirit. Jesus has a sweet tooth. He does. Now, this is straight. This is a good example of what I meant when I told you that they call the Holy Spirit the drama king in heaven. God is the Father of kings. Jesus is the King of kings, and the Holy Spirit is the drama king. And if you don't think so, you don't know him. And he's about to show up on this earth in unlimited proportions. And he's going to mess up a lot of people's lives, a lot of churches. Programs, he's going to mess it up, and they're about to get wrecked on the Holy Ghost. And he enjoys doing every bit of it. And I was minding my own business one time, just writing stuff down. The Holy Ghost, I'm going to show you something about the Lord you need to know. You always wanted to know about him when he was growing up. I've learned a lot about Jesus when he was growing up. He was a character. And people liked him even when he was younger. They liked him a lot. They liked to be with him a lot. But he had a sweet tooth. And one of his favorite things to eat was honeycomb. And I can prove it to you. When he cooked for the disciples on the beach, what did he give them? They had what? Seafood and honeycomb. Read it in the Word. He gave them dessert. It was a delicacy. Even back then, it was a delicacy to have a honeycomb. And usually only the really wealthy people could afford to have that. It wasn't as readily available as it is now all over the world. So that was a delicacy. But he had, even growing up, he loved honeycomb. And that's the way you satisfied your sweet tooth back then. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, you know, I don't know why people don't realize this. They don't really think about the word. He said, but it ran in the family because his cousin, while he was in the desert, ate locust and so it ran in the family. And guess what? He visits the bakeries a lot in heaven. Amen? And I don't know why people, you just need to start thinking and I don't know, in your supernatural mind, Jesus has his own place in heaven. Do we get a mansion? Say yes. Yes. We have our own place? Yes. So why wouldn't Jesus have his own? He's not super glued to the throne, and neither is the Father, by the way. They celebrate all over heaven with you. And so Jesus has his own place, and he loves to entertain some people going, I don't know about this, is not in the word. Jesus was so captivating, he always entertained people. And why do you think they were invited to the wedding in Canaan that was not a family member? Amen? They loved celebrations. He also loved singing and dancing. And they dance all over heaven. That's one of the major ways they worship in heaven. If you don't know how to dance, you need to start taking lessons. Remember when I came the first time, I had to teach you a dance, didn't I? Yeah, well, that was stretching this white girl's legs. That is not one of my gifts. All three of my daughters, they teach dance, they choreograph dance. They're amazing at it, and I've been thrown out of jazzercise classes. And I have taught more people a dance than all three of my daughters put together. Amen? So they do have many forms of worship, but I just thought the Holy Spirit was just wanted to tell you that Jesus had a sweet tooth. So, you know, that's pretty normal if you're a believer. You should like the sweet things in life. And he said to tell you they're going to give you more than grapes at the marriage supper of the Lamb. If people think you don't eat in heaven, remind them of that little event that's coming up, okay? Amen. I'm so excited to be here, and I have some powerful things to share with you about worship that I haven't shared before. A specific place God created in heaven for those who worship him in spirit and in truth, those who are true worshipers, is called Passionate Paradise. Another thing you're going to hear about today is garments of praise. Those are literal, some of the wardrobe you will be given in heaven. You get more than a gown and a robe. You get a gown of salvation and a robe of righteousness, but yes, you get a wardrobe. They don't expect you to wear the same thing all the time, and it does not look like what they wore 2,000 years ago. I've seen the disciples many times in heaven, and none of them dressed like they did 2,000 years ago. Amen? You're considered royalty in heaven. You're kings and priests unto your God. And I'm telling you, heaven, I heard someone say one time that there was so much bling when they got up there, they died and went to heaven, that it was almost gaudy. But the splendor and beauty and wonder of what is there will so get you undone. When you arrive in heaven, you can tell all the new people, they can't stop staring at everything and their mouths open all the time. Just the splendor of looking at one flower and the way he created it, and the very fact that that flower itself is singing to you. The flowers really sing. They sing. The rocks, there's a place in heaven where even the rocks, these giant boulders, have faces, and they join in a chorus together and worship God. Everything in heaven worships. And you become, and I tell people, you get indoctrinated into the culture of heaven. It's love and worship. You're going to so enjoy being there, and I know you miss your family members who've moved to heaven, but when you begin to understand what they're experiencing, it makes it a whole lot easier to let them go. Number one, they're with the one who made them. The one who was and is and always will be. The one that they came from. Their very life came from him. Our life was in him before we came to this earth. Even then you sang to him. Amen? The living creatures, they worship in the throne room. The seraphim have blue fire coming from their head. They're called the burning ones. There's this glory cloud that surrounds the throne way up high. I've never even seen the ceiling in the throne room because of the glory that's in there. And these angels dip down out of, they become actually worship themselves. They dip down out of this cloud over the throne, and you see this fire burning from them. And the song is so beautiful and so pure that they sing. People get caught up and you ride on your praise across the skies of heaven. Is worship important? Yes. Are you going to worship? Yes. It's called living worship. Everywhere you go in heaven, no matter what he's given you to enjoy or to be blessed with, you are going to praise him for it. You're going to dance when you see your mansion from the outside. You're going to dance when you go inside. All the things he put on your property, portals, doors that are portals that you open on your property that take you to new places in heaven that belong to you. God is not limited in his ability to bless you in heaven and on earth. He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy to be honored and adored. Stand up and let's declare something. We're going to get in agreement with the living creatures. You know why? The throne is in the center of the throne room, and those living creatures are on four sides. And when they begin to declare holy, 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 they're caught in the crossfire of their worship. But because of all of God's kids are around him, and they all begin to shout, all of that builds in God, an explosion takes place for the throne because of that love that's being given to him. We're going to do that right now. We're going to pretend that right up around here is the living creatures are going to start to shout. So let's shout with them. Holy! 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 Is the Lord God Almighty! Holy! Holy! Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He reigns forever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. You can sit down. It's awesome to worship, but when you step into what's already there, it makes it so easy. My brother mentioned today that when he goes places, we just carry God with us because we're only about one thing, him. And if you don't like him, you're not going to like us. Because that's what you're going to hear. It doesn't matter where we are in the store, the gas station, the parking lot. It doesn't matter where we go. It's about him. And I found that the world's actually hungry to know the truth about him. Not what man has said he is, but the truth about who he is. And they're hungry for it. And he said that usually he goes places and people go, well, I feel God. When you came in, I felt him. But he said when he got here and stepped out of the car, he was waiting because he was already here. It really is awesome. It's just an awesome thing to step into the presence of God. You know, usually people have to build it up or get it to come up. But when you come where he already abides, it just gets stronger and more powerful. Amen? I better get focused on my message. Well, happy birthday, Pastor Tony. Amen? Your angels are very excited about today. And they truly are excited about escorting your gift down the road when you drive it. And they bragging to all the other angels, too. If you don't think that your angel doesn't love you and is excited for you when you get blessed, and I'm not telling you to build a personal relationship with your angel. Don't take it there. You know, people, you say one little thing, and they take it way out to space somewhere. It's crazy. And someone said, you know, that I talked about something about, I don't mention John Wayne once, and so they said, well, I go up to heaven and have tea with him. Well, I don't do that because I don't like tea. It would have to be something else besides tea. But you know what? He is there, by the way. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. No matter who you are, or what you've done. You're in. Amen. I'm going to start by sharing a little bit. This message is called Wild Worship, which is what you are, wild worshipers. If you think you're wild here, wait till you get there. People break out all the time in worship in heaven. You cannot contain the love and life of God that's in you. You can't help it because his presence is all around you. The evidence of who he is all around you. You feel him everywhere you go. It never stops. Never. They celebrate all over heaven because of his goodness and his love. And I can tell you that there is treasure with your mansion. You get a treasure room. Some people say, I wonder if there's a place to keep it. Yes. You have a crown room in your mansion right now. One day we'll all throw them at his feet. Right now you get to keep them for a while. And people come to your mansion to visit you. They want to see your crown room. They want to make sure you got a soul winner's crown. You better make sure you get one. You can at least win one for him. Amen. Unspeakably beautiful, the beauty and the splendor of those crowns. But you have a treasure room, and there's things in there you never even dreamed or thought of that could exist, even in heaven. And so I'm going to tell you the story of when I saw Whitney Houston receiving her reward. How many people know Whitney Houston? You better say amen. Was she gifted? Did she use her gift? Yeah. Amen. I was waiting some months ago to speak on the platform, and I had just recently heard that she had passed from this world. And the minute someone said that to me, the Holy Spirit always has something to say. And he told me she sang her salvation. I've even already heard somebody, there's already somebody out there saying they saw her in hell. Well, they went to the mock hell. You need to get a clue about the enemy. He copies everything God does. And right now, he has created in the second heaven a mock heaven to bring confusion. And he will catch people up that don't know a clue, don't have a clue, or don't know any different. And it looks pretty close, except, of course, they're never going to feel the presence of God there, but they don't really know him. They wouldn't know anyway. And he will show them people in this mock heaven that really are not there. But then he has a mock hell. He's got power. And then he'll take them there and show them people that aren't there. Like Michael Jackson. People are saying, I saw him in hell. It is too late, people, because I saw him in heaven. And I want you to know it was done in secret, but he gave himself back to God just a little while before he died. And I will give you another clue. Some people didn't want you to know that. You know who knows the truth? And my best friend, Holy Spirit. Don't know if they'll ever prove it, but he did not take his own life. Something had happened to him, and somebody did not want this world to know. So he is in heaven. I've seen him in heaven. Whitney is in heaven. Amen? So when the Holy Spirit says she's singing her salvation, I was just real happy. I knew she was there. Number one, she had a praying mama and grandma. And if you don't think their words have power, because if you have one and you're not a believer, you may as well lay down, roll over, and give up. Because God's not going to ignore their words. He'll pursue you. If he has to wrestle with you on your deathbed, he's going to get you. So after I heard that, about a week later, I was sitting on the front row, and he caught me up to heaven, and there was Whitney still at the throne. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Just radiating with the glory of God from her face, just shaking from head to toe. God telling her how much he appreciated her, that she used the gift he put in her. That's why they're irrevocable. He wants you to use them on this earth. And she certainly did do that. She was standing there. He said, daughter, because you were willing to use your gift that I put inside of you, I'm going to give you some of my own songs that have never been sung anywhere, not even in heaven. And she's standing there so filled with his love. And he reached down and picked up this treasure chest about 18 inches long, about a foot high. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen is a treasure chest. And when he opened it, I heard this song coming out that was so powerful and so captivating. It was beautiful. I can't even explain to you how it sounded, but it was absolutely captivating. And I saw music. In heaven, you will hear worship and see worship and smell worship. Down here, when you worship, you create an incense that goes into the throne room of God, but in heaven, you can smell it as you're worshiping. You smell the incense yourself as you're worshiping. It comes from you. But you can see worship in heaven. You ride on worship in heaven. You're caught up and ride on your praise across the skies of heaven. You see streams of people going into the throne room of God, riding on their praise. Say, that's awesome, God. And so I saw this music, this song come out of this treasure box, and it was like a garnet red color. It was absolutely beautiful. It was like fabric, but I knew it was a song. It began to swirl around her and wrap itself around her being. See, you actually have a real spiritual body in heaven, or you wouldn't need a mansion. He wouldn't have to give you clothes, and he wouldn't be feeding you. Some people think you're some wispy thing that floats through the wall. You wouldn't need a mansion to float through the walls. If you're going to get a mansion, you're going to have a life up there. It began to wrap itself around her, and when it was done, it was this beautiful garnet gown, this beautiful red, and every time she'd move her hand, you'd hear that music coming off those clothing. And he said, everywhere you go in heaven when you wear this, people are going to know that I gave you my song. Say, that's precious. I love heaven. Thank you, Father, for rewarding her. Amen. So I was just captivated. He showed that to me and then brought me back. And then later I found out, I did not know this, but she was out with some friends the night before she died. And she was in a bar, I believe it was, and they talked her into getting up there and singing. She didn't want to do it, but they said they talked her into doing it. And she said, well, I'll sing one song. And she gets up there. She starts singing, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. It was so anointed that people were like weeping there. And I tell you why it was anointed. He said, when she sang that song, she gave herself back to me. Amen? Say, thank you for grace. So the word actually talks about garments of praise. Those are literal pieces of clothing, articles of clothing that you can wear in heaven. So life is a lot better than it is down here. Amen. I love worship in the throne room, worship in the streets of God. You hold events at your own mansion where people come to worship. You think about the people who passed on before us that were great worship leaders, or even some of the great maestros that wrote some of the beautiful, like the Hallelujah chorus. Amen. Joyful, joyful. Amen. Dottie Rambo's up there. I don't know if you know her. She wrote most of the songs a lot of the leading Christian artists have sung. And God took her home a couple years ago. She went through a lot of suffering in her life. She literally had angels walk in her bedroom with songs from heaven written on these scrolls and gave them to her. She called it the angel room. And the Father said it was time for her to go home to heaven, Dottie Rambo, because it was time to start writing the songs that would be sung during the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the last thing he told me when he was bringing me back from seeing Whitney, he said, and it was time for Whitney to come home because she will be singing those songs at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. So sometimes we don't know why our loved ones go home. Sometimes it's actually to reward them. Say, God knows best. We all belong to Him. He gets to choose. Amen. Everything in heaven has life in it. Even the buildings you walk past seem to be alive. The music comes from the streets. It comes from the trees. You can walk past whole flower beds, and they're worshiping God. Isn't that glorious? I've heard some people say it sounds like 1,000 or 1,000,000 voices coming all at the same time. I've heard that kind of worship, but I've heard all kinds of worship in heaven. I've heard rap and jazz, all kinds of worship going in heaven because people have those gifts. Amen? And God's going to let you use your gifts when you get to heaven. This beautiful place he recently showed me called Passionate Paradise, where you begin to worship many times in the throne room. You're worshiping, even in the throne room, you're caught up off your feet and you just rise up in the atmosphere because the glory is so thick, you could almost walk on it. People begin to worship and they begin to dance and they come up about, 2 feet up off the floor in the throne room. You walk in, there they are worshiping him in the air. Isn't that awesome? You can still worship him and produce glory for him in heaven. You can't win souls. That part of your labor is over. One of the most important things you can do is to receive Christ yourself and then share him. Don't hide the truth from people because you think you're doing them a favor. They need to know the truth. They need to know what they're doing is wrong so they can be free, because if no one ever tells them, they're not going to know that they have to be free. Amen? I know I've heard the frequency of God's voice in heaven. It penetrates. He can be on the throne and speak something, and no matter where, you hear it audibly in heaven. Everybody listens. Sometimes he sings. Did you think about God singing? It says in the word, he sings over us. Isn't that wonderful? Say, Father, please sing over me. I want the frequency of your voice to come into my spirit and my home. It says that God inhabits the praises of his people. People say, how can I increase my relationship? Start playing anointed worship music in your home. It's not that hard. I think probably half the body of Christ never does it. I stay with people and I'm shocked. Because to me, that's a lifestyle. I have worship in my home 24 hours a day. The devil doesn't like it. Don't watch things to invite him in, amen? Create a habitation for heaven. He inhabits the praises of his people. Even in the throne room, you can feel the love coming from him when you're standing there worshiping him. And you see the seraphim singing, this blue fire come out of the head. Here's the living creatures declaring over God. These waves of the rainbow that come off the Father, they'll start sweeping around the throne room and they will catch you up like getting on a train. He'll just send them out and they'll start picking people up on these waves, these beautiful waves of glory, and takes you across the sky of heaven to this place they call Passionate Paradise. It's where all true worshipers go in heaven. Especially if you're in a worship team or a musician or someone who leads worship or records worship, you will always go to this place. It's one of the high places because worship establishes a high place even in your home and in your life. Even here you have established a high place for God. The enemy hates that. He wants all worship to come to him. Amen? Even he was created to produce worship and glory for God. So you're here, sitting here in the throne room. You've lost your mind a long time ago. Forget about that. You learn to really flow with things in heaven. No matter what goes on, you get caught up and you go. You feel so much like a little child. I think that's what happens when we begin to worship and we kind of forget where we are or what we've done or what people think about us. They do not make you who you are. God says who you are. And he wants you just the way you are. Worship him. Why do you think he sent the worshipers out ahead of the army? That's where the real power was. It's in praise. You can destroy the plans of the enemy just through worship. David never went to war without sending the worshipers first. And their only shield and weapon was praise. I think this is where Psalms 149 came from. It binds the enemy in fetters of iron. Some people just need to really get free. I'd love to come in a place and see people dancing down front when you worship. You're just doing what they do in the throne room. Amen? And I'll tell you this, that they're even going to change the way that sanctuaries are built in the years ahead on this and this country especially. They're going to design them like the throne room. And the platform is going to be in the middle. It'll rotate slowly, and the people will be all the way around so everybody can worship just like they do in the throne room, and God's going to get caught in the middle. Isn't that exciting? He's going to have man, they're going to have to start adapting to the way heaven worships. Because heaven's really tired of the way man does it. You get your three little songs, get your one word, and get out the door. You live in the throne room because of the presence of God that's there and the worship. Amen. Stand up for 1 second. We're going to declare something. Say, Father, create in me the heart of a worshiper. Someone after your own heart. I want to worship you in spirit and in truth, like King David did. When he did it abandonedly, because he was in love with you. Amen. You can sit down. People go on there and they'll come in whole groups or whole families will come in there together to worship. There's no time in heaven. That's the best part. You never stay too long. You're not going to be late ever. No alarm clocks, no watches, no calendars. Awesome. People go, how do you know to go somewhere? Someone just stands in their mansion and invites all of their family and friends to come, and they hear them and they come. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Amen. Can you imagine having a concert at your home? And here's King David coming with some of his group that were in the temple with him. That would be a time, wouldn't it? Amen. I just love the Lord so much. You know, worship really is, it is singing, it is dancing, but it's also the way you live your life. I'm sure in the month ahead that's coming for you, wish I could come, it is going to be so powerful by the time you get to the end of the 30 days and you have worshiped God for a month. How many people do that? If you don't think he's not going to show up, here he is. And freedom is going to come to people. And wholeness is going to come to people. I'm not saying healing. I'm saying wholeness will come. Blessings will come to you because you're laying down your lives to honor him. Think about a 30-day worship time. It is going to be so powerful. And God is going to honor that. They've already had a 100-year prayer and worship meeting in this country, in the hills of North Carolina for 100 years, 24 hours a day, asking God to come and take this country. Amen? You know who he's listening to? Those who want his will done on earth. Not listening to the ones that don't want it done. He needs the agreement of the body saying, not because of the denomination you belong to or what you think you know or who you know. It's not about you or them. It's about him. When you declare your will be done, and that's the heart's cry for you. It's what the word says. Jesus said, pray this way. Everybody say it. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Then start worshiping in your home. Amen. We need to start understanding this is about him. Everything should be about him. When you get to that place, he will give you so many things without even asking for them. Because you are blessing the heart of God. When you worship, not because of what he's given you or what you have, you're worshiping him because you love him. Because he is God. And he is worthy. And I can tell you, people think they have all these little lists made out about things they want to ask him. It's going to disappear when you get there. You are not going to think about one thing on that list. As you're walking up, being walked up the steps of the throne by Jesus himself to be given back to the Father, and you're so undone, even creation flows from the steps of the throne. You can look in the steps and see something being created somewhere by God. It flows from his person all the time. You're standing there, just you're trembling from excitement and love that the one who made everything, that even eternity came from him, sings over you and desires for you to know him. What is it to take a few minutes to worship him? Amen. There's powerful worship in the throne room. The instruments even have life in them. I've heard drummers drum. When the drummers start beating the drums in the throne room, lightning bolts shoot off of the drums. When they blow the shofar, rainbows shoot out of them. It's producing glory for God. You have garments in your wardrobe. You select one for that song that you want to wear at that time. Say, I love heaven. We just don't know him, do we? Amen. Your family members, I'm sure, are thrilled that you know something about heaven. Your whole mansion is designed and created around you, whatever you are. If you're a worshiper, I'm telling you what, you have worship nonstop at that place. You actually train people to use instruments, but then you have God's frequency in you when you train them. Want to learn to play the grand piano? Takes you about 3 lessons. That's the way it is in heaven. You walk on rainbow bridges, and you ride on roads of light. You walk on music and ride on music in heaven. You'll sing a song from wherever you are in heaven, and you can see it leave you. It looks like ribbons of color that are created. You see it leaving you, heading to the throne room of God. And it gets there, and you're in the throne room. You hear people's worship arriving in the throne room that aren't even there. Say, it's supernatural. We're not talking about a natural world. You walk around heaven. If you want something, you say it. Food appears on a tray in front of you. You eat it. When you're done, it disappears. You're going to praise him. You go down the streets of gold, either on a road of light. There's a place they call the Hall of Wisdom. And I used to tell people when I was a little girl, I always wanted to be 50. I was strange even then. I would be like 7 and tell my mama, I can't wait till I'm 50 years old. And all my friends are saying, I want to stay young forever. I said, I want to be 50. I figured I'd be wise. So I wanted to be 50. I guess I got a little bit more after I turned 50. I'm 60 right now. Amen. You feel young when you live for God. And so, but people in heaven, they walk and life is in you. He's in you. That word, when Jesus said, Father, I desire that they be in you, even as I am in you, even as we are in each other. You literally, Jesus can step inside you when you get home to heaven. And he'll begin to sing this powerful song of love for you because you chose him. And no matter what you thought you may have gone through on this earth, because you belong to him, it's worth everything. It saturates your whole being. That song stays with you forever. You sing the song of the Lord here. When you get to heaven, he is going to sing to you. He creates a secret garden just for you, and you get a key, and when you want to be with him, you go in there. All the flowers in that garden are your favorite flowers, and they sing your favorite melodies. Music is a huge part of your life in heaven. Say amen. Can't wait to go there. Can't go yet, though. He's not done with you. Amen. I'm going to share just a minute about the spirit realm. Then I'm going to talk about Abraham's bosom. How many people don't know what Abraham's bosom is? How many people do know what, you know what it is, right? That's where the righteous dead were kept. You know, before Jesus went up to heaven and poured out his blood on the mercy seat, they didn't go to heaven. They descended into Abraham's bosom. Well, I know what that looks like. Who would like to know? They had powerful worship down there, let me tell you. All those old saints getting together. They worshiped. Some people thought, well, how did they know who Jesus was? Are you kidding? Think about the witnesses that were there. There was a lot of witnesses in Abraham's bosom. When he showed up, when he died in his spirit, when his spiritual body, when he left the cross, when he released his spirit, he went and dropped off the one who was the thief, who was no longer a thief. If you remember, he said, I will be with you today. I will be with you in paradise. He dropped him off in Abraham's bosom. There's a great gulf at one time between hell and Abraham's bosom. And back then, you descended when you died if you were counted righteous. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that now? And you could actually see into parts of hell. You cannot see hell from heaven now. But they could see about the entrance of hell from where they were in Abraham's bosom. And I can tell you what, they knew who the Son of God was when he showed up and dropped that thief off. They already knew who he was. How could they know that? Number one, Joseph was there. How many people remember Joseph? Remember Joseph and Mary? He raised Jesus for God. He knew who he was. If you don't think, you weren't testifying about him when he showed up. And then there's John the Baptist, his cousin. You think he wasn't talking about him down there when he went to Abraham's bosom? And what about Lazarus, his best friend? He only got to testify for 4 days. How strange was that? People started disappearing from Abraham's bosom all of a sudden when Jesus started in his ministry. Just think about being there with all them, and all of a sudden people are disappearing. They hear a voice calling them, out they come. They knew exactly who he was by the time he showed up, but then he did something really strange. I love the video you showed. I love that you said he defeated hell. Oh, I'm going to tell you what happened. Who would like to know? They had already been worshiping in Abraham's bosom since they got there. They still worshiped God himself, but they started finding out about the Son of God and who the Messiah was. They knew who he was. They'd already had witnesses down there sharing about him. When he showed up and dropped the thief off, they were so excited for him to be there. But let me tell you, he did not stay there. He himself crossed over to hell. Now, how weird was that? Well, I don't think anybody else did that. Do you? And I tell people now, God has an M.O. He had me say that from the platform. God has an M.O. What does that mean? That means he has a mode of operations. He makes it perfectly clear who he is, lets you see who he is. Then the enemy shows up and does this thing, and God is silent while the enemy is showing himself off, waiting to hang himself. But when God is ready to do something, he strikes, and it's not very pleasant for the enemy. He did that with Lucifer, didn't he? He did. When he was going around heaven having little fancy, beautiful concerts for himself so people would be drawn to him instead of God, and God said nothing, Lucifer got more puffed up the longer it went by, and he said, God doesn't know anything. I'm smarter than him. So that was it. He really thought he was smarter than God. Was he smarter? When God was ready, what did he do? He kicked him out. Well, guess what? That third day in hell came, and Lucifer was ready to torture the Son of God in front of all of his hierarchy. He had called in all the hierarchy out of their places where he had them ruling. He wanted them to witness him because now he didn't think he was smarter than God. He thought he was more powerful than God. And he was telling them all, look, he can't get him out. He's still here. And now I'm going to show you what I'm going to do to him because I am more powerful than God. And God let him hang himself again. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the third day when God said now, stood up and light from heaven came and hit that place. It exposed every crack and crevice in hell. Let me tell you, the demons were screaming. But over here in Abraham's bosom, they were having a worship service. They were having a praise-a-thon because they were watching the Son of God whip the devil's butt. If you think they were staying quiet, he had a cheerleading squad over there screaming and cheering him on as he took his hand and swiped it over the faces of the hierarchy and melted their faces right in the midst of hellfire, the fire of God coming out of his hand and melting them. Those demons were running and screaming, trying to get out of his way. And the whole time, hallelujah, praise God, over here in Abraham's bosom. I'm sure that it was not a pleasant thing to hear. They already knew who he was. They had a worship service going on over there, amen? And then he stripped Satan of everything he had, including every gemstone that was ever put on him, took the keys of hell, death, and the grave, left, picked up his body up here on earth, his glorified body, went up to heaven, poured out the blood on the mercy seat, and then came back and led everybody out of Abraham's bosom. And I can tell you, something happened, and it's in the Bible, and maybe you missed it. It said after Jesus died on the cross, there was a great earthquake, and it said some of the dead were seen walking around on the earth. Who were they? They were the ones who were about to go home to heaven, amen? They had a massive worship service in Abraham's bosom for the last time. They went up to heaven and haven't stopped worshiping since. Amen? When you worship, you create power from your mouth. Your worship is an adoration. When you adore him, you are doing harm to the enemy. Because you're telling the enemy, no matter what's going on in my life, I choose to adore him regardless of what I have or don't have because he's worthy. Those demons begin to scream. They're assigned to you because you're causing pain in their mind. When you worship, it causes pain in the mind of the enemy. I tell people, you just got to worship. You want to fight back? Worship God. It binds the enemy in fetters of iron. It makes them of no effect in your life. And the more you worship, the more harm you do to the enemy's camp. They beg not to be assigned to you. I'm not going there. They're a worshiper. They won't listen to what I'm saying. They don't want what you're offering. They just want him. Why are you wasting our time sending us there? And when they come back, they get punished because they're not successful. When you worship, you release power from your mouth. All praise that is given to God on this earth has to go up to heaven to the throne room. And as it does, it passes through the second heaven where the enemy's place is, and you bust that place to pieces. Amen? When you do a clap offering unto the Lord, you send earthquakes through there. Let's stand up and do it. Well, stand up right now. Let's do a clap offering. We're going to praise God and send earthquakes to Satan's realm. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy. He is worthy. Amen. Amen. You can sit down. Besides loving people, the next greatest weapon you have is worshiping. We need to remember that. Worship first, then ask for things later. Amen. It's certainly all right to bring your needs and make them known to God, but what does it say in the Bible? Enter his courts with what? Praise. With praise. Why did he say that? Because it's powerful when you praise. You're kicking the devil out of the way on the way into his court. He wants to control the air, what goes through the airwaves, all frequencies, all sound, music. He wants the music. There's a lot of amazing recording artists that he's about to get saved. Amen? And he's not going to let them get taken out either. There'll come a day, literally on this earth, when we will walk out in the streets, even if there's war going on where he puts us at that time, we begin to praise, and that people with the weapons will fall down. Because praise is powerful, and the enemy will not be able to resist the praise coming out of your mouth. I told this story before that I saw a worship service going on in the years ahead on this earth from the time of the glory being released. I saw this huge church and worship was going on, and the enemy had sent these two guys with like big weapons. I don't know anything about guns. I don't like guns. I have spiritual guns bigger than any gun you could carry on this earth. People think, you know, that I'm just a pink-haired, weak lady. I don't like violence, but I do more destruction with my praise and worship than you could do with any gun or rocket or missile, because I'm fighting against the principalities and the powers, and the war is in the spirit realm, not in the flesh. When you walk that way in the spirit realm, even the flesh will have to lay down. It won't be able to come against you. Stop wrestling against the flesh and blood. You have authority in this earth. You are powerfully made, and your power and authority in the spirit realm is because of the blood. Say, because of the blood. Because of the blood. Because of the blood. I have power and authority. Amen. We shouldn't have fear in our life. I'm not saying it's wrong to have weapons. That is our right. It is our right. Unfortunately, the devil has a lot of people that have weapons too. And my brother always has this discussion. My brother was called to war. He has a whole different calling on his life. I'm called to talk about the love of God. He's called to talk about the fire and destruction and the wrath of God that will be coming on this earth eventually. We may see some of it show up. And that means someday these missionaries that are being wiped out by evil people will only walk outside and speak a word and they'll all drop dead. God is bringing his power in his people to this earth. Amen? Amen. You need to be excited. Say, I'm excited. I'm excited. I am a weapon in my God's hand. I can love him and defeat the enemy at the same time through praise. And then after that, I'm going to keep praising. I'm going to create a habitation for heaven in my home. I'm going to play worship music. The devil doesn't like it, but heaven sure does. Amen. When you worship and dance down here in the spirit realm, which I see anytime I close my eyes, I can see it. That's not my choice. It's a gift he gave me for a reason, so I can let you know what happens. The body needs to know what happens when I pray. What happens when I worship? Does it make any difference if I'm standing there for someone's healing and I pray for 6 months or 6 years and they still die? Yes, it matters. Very much what you released while you were doing that. When you dance down here on earth, God so loves it when you worship him and dance. King David did it. They dance in heaven. It's okay. It belongs to God. And it's even okay to do it just for fun. I tell you, the biggest thing in heaven right now is play and pray. Pray and play. Play and pray. Because it's about holy and fun. Heaven is holy, but it's fun. We have to show that image to this world that it's okay to have fun and be a believer. Amen? We're not supposed to be boring or judgmental. We're supposed to live the life of God so they want him and show them we can be captivating. Jesus was one of the most fun people to be around. He was continually accused by the hierarchy, the religious hierarchy, that he was a wine bibber and the friend of sinners. Well, I know sinners, and if you're boring or judgmental, you are not going to hang around them. Is that true? If he was there beating them up all the time, criticizing them, they wouldn't want to be around him, but he was captivating. Amen? We need to let this world know that we should be the most exciting people to be around because of the life and love of God in us. And at the same time have revelation to share truth so they'll know who they are and why he made them. It is coming. You're already in that time. Some people, God's been preparing you. You've been worshiping him in secret, in your closet, and in your room, and nobody knows but him. He's going to put you out front where everybody will know who you are because you loved him. He's going to use a lot of hidden people that maybe some people know or some congregations know, but the world doesn't really know them yet. They're about to know who they are because they don't care what the world thinks. Amen. Because they haven't touched the glory and won't touch the glory. You're about to see some unnamed people or unknown people put out front like Pastor Tony and Pastor Cynthia. God's going to use them to impact the world because they have allowed you to know him. And they have lived the right kind of life and they have worshiped continually. Not just outwardly, in their heart, in their life, it's a lifestyle. We need to start having a lifestyle of worship and gratefulness. Please tell God thank you for things. He told me the body of Christ forgets sometimes where it comes from until they need something or they're hurting. If you have a relationship with him like that, man, he's going to want to know what you need. Amen. Our life should be worship. Whatever you do in your life creates worship. When you worship and dance, the angels come and put a canvas under your feet. And while you're dancing before the Lord, you create a masterpiece of artwork. That artwork is taken up to heaven before the throne of God. And then he puts it in your praise gallery. One of the most significant things he showed me was you get more than just your mansion in heaven. Everybody has a praise gallery. What is that? It's not about you. It's what you created for him with your life that they collected as worship. And you get undone walking through there, seeing the things you did in your life and how it produced worship in the spirit realm. Say, that's awesome. He remembers what you do for him. Your worship is precious to him, especially when you're hurting. Especially when you need something yourself and you give to others and you still worship God even though you just gave away what he gave you. You cannot outgive God. I'm telling you, you are very wise. Giving away those 6,000 CDs, you'll be reaping reward till Jesus comes. And he's not giving to get it. He is planting life and power into people. And let me tell you what. When you worship or pray, you take atmosphere away from the enemy. He operates in the atmosphere. He creates strongholds in the atmosphere around your home, around cities. And God said there's several ways you can take that back. Number one, when you worship, you take a lot of it back. When you pray, you take it back. But when you record a CD, and that no matter where that goes in the world, every time it's played, it takes atmosphere away from the enemy. When you write a book that's about God, for God, every time somebody reads that book, whether it's an e-book or however they do it now, every time they do that, you literally take atmosphere away from the enemy because you're releasing something from God into people. So you are actually taking atmosphere away from the enemy out of people's lives and where they're living. Amen? You just start thinking spiritually minded. You need to think on the way they do in heaven. They have ways you can defeat the enemy in your life. Just by living and using what God put in you. So you're taking atmosphere away from the enemy. Strongholds are broken when worship is given because he inhabits the praises of his people. Even though you didn't record it, when you play it, he'll come inhabit that. I play that CD all the time in my home if I were you. Start creating a habitation for heaven. They love worship. The angels will come and dance and worship where they hear worship coming from. When you sing for the Lord down here, you all, it was the most beautiful thing if you could see the ribbons of color coming out of your mouths as you were worshiping today. creating beautiful things in the spirit realm and the atmosphere that God collected and put them in your praise gallery in heaven. Say, that's awesome. Our God is awesome. I need to worship him more. When you're an artist and you paint for God as you're painting, if I'm there or someone's painting, I hear music coming off the tip of that brush. Every time they brush that with a brush stroke, I hear music coming off of it. And when they're done and I look at the artwork, I hear the music, the melody, or the song they just created by painting that painting. Say, wow. It matters to God. You can worship. If you can't sing a note, I don't sing very well. It's not my gift either. I'm the one who makes a joyful noise, right? But God loves it, and I know it. And not only when I sing am I doing something powerful, it's hurting the enemy's ears at the same time. The Holy Spirit thought you needed to know that. Amen. Stand up for just a minute. I'm going to release something into everybody here, and then I'm going to have Pastor Tony and Cynthia come up here. Your life should become worship. All of heaven is watching you. Your guardian angel is with you 24/7. And sometimes you make them dance by the things you decide. And sometimes they don't dance. Sometimes they look pretty frustrated. A friend of mine who could see sometimes saw her husband witnessing to somebody on the street corner when they were younger. He wasn't doing a very good job, and that his angel was cheering him on, and he kind of almost just stopped, and she saw the angel raise his foot. He was about to give him a nudge. He wanted him to go be more passionate about it, right? I mean, if you can be passionate for things the world has, we should be passionate for our God. Amen. So let's look up to heaven. Just hold your hands up to heaven for a minute. Say, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the triune God, you made everything that was, that is, and will be. You are worthy of praise. I want to praise you. For the next 10 seconds, I'm going to shout from my being with everything I have. I'm going to love you. So we're going to look up and we're going to shout hallelujah. You ready? One. We're going to send a blast to the second heaven. Right now, what is about to happen in the throne room is there is going to be a rush of incense. And that rush of incense is coming from this place right here. And it will flow all over in the throne room, and you are going to bless, if they had socks on, you're about to bless the Trinity, amen? See, when you declare and decree something, and then you actually do it, it's powerful because you're using your will, amen? So let's look up and go, hallelujah! Now that you did that, hold your hands back up. Father, I ask you right now, pour out your presence in this place, God. Let it sweep across your people, Father. Let it sweep across your people right now, God. Consume them with your presence, Father. I just release the anointing upon their lives, God, right now. I just release it over them, Father. Let them begin to feel the heat of your passion, Father, consuming them. Shout out, I receive. Give me more. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can sit down. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.